Here we are. You miss your crew, traitor?
They're lined up and shackled to the walls. You let the jailers know which crew members you need. I want only one or two to a wag. You just point them out and the jailers will free them from the cells. Then tell your people to get into the transport. Tell them if they make trouble, they'll get chilled.
I know how this works.
The jail cells were lit up by the glare of the surrounding Sekwag's headlights. Traitor started walking toward the rows of men and women. His backside felt like it had been augured, repeatedly. It was the worst case of Montezuma's he'd ever had. What he had been ordered to do right now was even scarier, and certainly as painful. Zeal was making him choose the ones who were probably going to live. At least they were going to have a chance. By default, he was also choosing the ones who were going to die. It wasn't the first time he'd had to do it, of course. A commander operating in a free-fire zone like Deathlands had to make those kind of regrettable decisions too often. Decisions forced on him by circumstances, by a strategic situation outside his control. And it was just that he'd never faced the prospect of sending so many of his people to their deaths all at once. As Traitor walked along the walls, he saw faces he knew well. Some of them he'd ridden with for many years. Faces hopeful, prayerful even, of an impending release. Traitor continued on without stopping. There was crushing disappointment, shock, maybe even an accusation of ultimate betrayal in their eyes.
Traitor! What's up? I'm right here!
Not today, Abe.
Traitor kept walking.
What? Hey!
Traitor didn't stop. Walking on was a hard thing for him to do. Hard to see the surprise and hurt on his old friend's face. Though all the members of the convoy were good at what they did, or they wouldn't have come along, Traitor could only take the very best for the job as he saw it. That meant leaving some of the regular drivers behind so he could take the men and women who were the better fighters in close quarters, with everything on the line. That meant taking the young ones.
I'll take these two here, JB and Sam.
Traitor! Oh man, what'd they do to you?
Tried to poison me last night. Guess I was too tough for them. We'll give them another chance, though. I'm on a no-food diet until we put these bastards behind us.
You sure you're all right?
My legs are still kind of shaky, but don't worry about me. I'll hold up just fine.
Traitor moved on down the line, calling for this one or that one. When he was done, more than half of his crew members remained shackled, soon to return to the cells. The freed ones stood close to him, awaiting their orders.
All right, men. We're gonna make a little unscheduled side trip with the Baron in Shabazz. Seems he's got a looting he needs some help with. Wants to use our war wags and transports to facilitate things.
What's in it for us?
We help him, and he lets us roll out of here. Our wags will have Sekman and Shabazz's crew inside. They'll be the ones manning the weapon systems. From what I gather, the people in control of Zeal's target aren't too friendly. We can expect some serious blaster play sometime today. Stay alert.
Traitor didn't have to say more to them. And there was really nothing more he could say under the circumstances. He couldn't predict what was going to happen in the next few hours, so he couldn't give them hard and fast orders. The situation was fluid, and likely to remain so for a while. The crew members knew to look for their main chance, and he trusted them to recognize it when the time came. After he directed his people toward the transport, Traitor got back in the pink wag. Zeal's wide grin showed off the lipstick on his front teeth.
Bet they were glad to see you. At least the ones you let out of jail.
It took another 4 minutes to reach the mini-malls where the convoy was parked.
All right. Shabazz, open the door. It's up to you which of your crew rides where, but I want you to ride in the big wag with Shabazz. Oh, and we need to make one stop before we leave the Ville. Have your wag crews follow in line behind us.
I don't have a choice in the matter.
Traitor joined his people beside the transport, made his assignments, and the crews filtered off to their respective wags. The first thing they did was to clear the external mines. They did it quickly and surreptitiously, flipping the detonator switches as they pretended to check drive shafts and cat-track turnbuckles.
Ah, looks good, Traitor. Now get over here. Get in. We're heading to our quick stop.
Zeal's driver led the motorcade around the block, and if Traitor's sense of direction was correct, and the direction of the dry lake, they didn't travel far before stopping again. Shabazz exited the vehicle and gestured for Trader to get out too. When he did, he saw that they were in the Ville's warehouse area. A big group of workers was standing in front of the open bay doors of a long, windowless, concrete-block building.
What's all this?
Oh, we need to make room for our new cargo. Have your people open the doors of your WAG's cargo holds. My workers will unload it all for you.
Trader shouldn't have been stunned, but he was. At his sides, his hands clenched into fists. He was being ripped off, royally, and there was absolutely nothing he could do about it.
Well, what are you waiting for? Go!
Men, they're gonna unload our WAGs.
Trader, what the hell?
Now's not the time. I know the cargo we've got is a result of months of collective effort, but sometimes we just gotta let the cards fall and keep thinking for a way to deal a new hand.
Because the WAGs were so carefully and fully packed, and because the Baron's underfed, underpaid workers were in no particular hurry to get the job done, it took better than 2 hours for them to completely unload all the WAGs. For 2 hours, a stream of crates, boxes, and drums flowed from the open doors of the convoy into Zeal's warehouse. By the time the job was finished, the inside of the once-empty building was choked wall-to-wall with liberated goods. The sight of it all sitting there, all taken from him, with nothing whatsoever to show for it, made Trader's stomach clench hard. A stab of white-hot agony pierced his bowels, and he had to put out a hand to the side of the Lincoln or drop to his knees. Whatever they'd done to him, one thing was sure. He wasn't completely over it yet. Shabazz was watching him intently, and from the smirk on his face, enjoying what he was seeing.
If that's the lot, well then, it's time to go.
Come on, Trader. You and me are riding together. And if you're real good, maybe I'll even let you drive.
As Trader and Shabazz started for the MCP, Zeal headed for one of the smaller war wags. The Baron waved impatiently at the set car parked alongside. The back door of the wag popped open, and a tall, skinny figure was thrust out into the waiting arms of a pair of sec men. The sec men then pushed the old man, wearing the strangely cut coat and tall leather boots, toward the war wag ahead of Zeal, who gave him a series of cuffs to speed him up. Trader only had that fleeting, ultimately forgettable glimpse of the old man before he was shoved headlong through the doorway of War Wag 1 by Levi Shabazz. In the corridor inside, JB and Sam were waiting for him. They both looked highly agitated.
For Newt's sake, just keep it together. Don't do anything crazy. Don't do anything at all.
But these bastards robbed us!
We can replace the barter goods. We gotta bide our time if we want to turn this thing around. Hey, what are you jabbering about? Get up forward, a lot of you.
JB and Sam followed Trader up the narrow hall. He couldn't help but check out each open doorway. It pissed him off to see Shabazz's crew at every turn, nosing around in the bunk rooms, turning the galley upside down. Anything not nailed down was going to be stolen or eaten, that was for sure. What fried Trader the most, though, was seeing the road pirates monkeying around with the MCP's various weapons, fingering the rockets, pawing the machine guns in their blisters, even toying with the rear-firing cannons. He identified deeply with this machine and with its firepower, which was, after all, a product of his own imagination and sweat. There was plenty of room in the MCP's driver's compartment for all of them. They could stand or they could sit in the jump seats along the rear wall. The first thing Shabazz did was to shoo his crewman out of the driver's seat.
Hey, get the hell up. I'm driving this baby. You stand over there by the door and keep your blaster pointed at these three.
The crewman got up without a complaint, drew his wheel gun from its shoulder holster, aimed the double-action .38 Colt at belt height, and held it steady.
You can fill me in on the forward-facing fire controls as we go. Now, let's see what this baby can do.
With that, they set off at the head of the file. Trader watched the MCP's headlight beams sweep over the Ville.
Well, hey, look, we're coming up on your buddies, Trader. Let's say hello. Hey, fellas! Trader says hi!
He's just trying to get to us. Ignore him.
Not easy to ignore his smell.
Do it anyway.
Oh, felt like I just ran over a scaly.
Oh,
Trader, you okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Trader, what's this red button do?
JB, you tell him.
Tell him anything he wants to know.
Yeah, that's right, JB. You tell old Shabazz all about it.
That's a button for the cannon. You press it, anything in front of you goes away. It's got a mighty big kick, too.
How about these controls?
They're rocket pods.
Well, shit. It sounded like you and I need to have ourselves a little powwow to get all this stuff learnt. Yeah, we'll have to do that on the way there.
Speaking of which, how about you finally let us in on the plan? After all, we're all in this together now.
Well, why not? Place we're headed is a pass, maybe 25 clicks from here, guarded by a band of inbred maggots.
And these inbreds, they're what's keeping you from what you're after?
Yeah, they're blocking the way to Spear Point.
Sam and JB glanced at Trader. The question on both of their faces was the same. Was this for real? Trader shrugged, as if to say, hell if he knew, and hell if he cared. He turned to Shabazz.
Must be some triple tough maggots if you need something like the MCP to get through them.
Oh, they got the place well defended. There's steep rock walls on either side of the road. Makes it like driving in a ditch. These inbreds have cut deep trenches across the road to trap any wags trying to use it. And they got heavy caliber machine guns. And the drooly bastards know how to use them, too. It's like a shooting gallery.
Set up like that would make it pretty tough going for Zeal's regular sec wags.
Make it suicide. I know, because we already tried that.
Of course. So that means these inbreds are probably not going to be surprised to see you again.
Yeah, maybe not, but when they see what we brought with us this time, it ought to make them squirt shit.
Trader thought about Ryan, Poet, and Hun, about how maybe they were already dead, about how even if they weren't, how slim the chances were of their being able to stop and defeat an entire convoy. If there was no rescue attempt forthcoming, Trader and the others were going to have to try to overpower Shabazz and his crew without a diversion from the outside. Shabazz must have been reading his mind.
Hey, bugfucker! Put some leg irons on these three and make triple sure the woman is cuffed good and tight. I would just hate to see our passengers get themselves into trouble.